All right. So I want to return to a topic we've done before years ago, I think. But it's really fascinating, and it really kind of lends a sense to the drama behind the establishment of the holiday of Purim, which we're going to celebrate pretty soon. The real halachic issue, presumably, let's start this way. In the time of Mordechai and Esther, there were only d'oraisa holidays. There were the Sholosh Regalim, it was Rosh Hashanah, there's Yom Kippur. The idea that Chazal could establish a new holiday was revolutionary. And it yielded a real struggle over halacha, over ownership of halacha, over the Chaf Dalet Kisvei Tanakh, over what the holiday would look like. And that's really what we want to talk about today, because I think it's a fascinating topic. Why don't we start with a sheet and let's see. Okay. Why can't I scroll? I don't know. One second. Here we go. Okay. There is something extremely unique about Purim. It's halacha lemaaseh. We'll see later. It's extremely unique, and that is, there's apparently a range of days or range of dates on which you could be yotzei the mitzvah. The first Mishnah in Megillah says, Megillah nikreis b'achadasar, b'shneimasar, b'shloshasar, b'arba'asar, b'chamishasar. Right? You could read the Megillah on the 11th, the 12th, the 13th, the 14th, the 15th, and then like it's a joke, lo pachot v'lo yoter. Not before, not after, which also turns out to not be true, halacha l'maisa. But could you imagine if you had a halacha that you could have a Seder on the 11th, the 12th, the 13th, the 14th, the 15th, right? We don't have that with respect to any Yom Tov. There's no makeup date for Yom Kippur, for Rosh Hashanah, for Sukkot, for Shavuos, for Pesach. And yet we have this strange halacha with respect to Purim that there are a number of days on which we can be Yotzei, Kriyas HaMegillah. Okay, that's something we'll have to come back to. But I want to leave it out there because I think that that goes to the core of what we're going to discuss. But let's start with the Gemara that I think is really the controlling source here. Source number two says the Gemara in Megillah, Daf Yud Dalet Amud Aleph. Arba'im Ushmona Nevi'im V'sheva Nevi'ot, right? 48 Nevi'im and 7 Nevi'ot Nit Nabu Lahem LiYisrael. That's how many Nevi'im there ever were in the world. That told us nevuah. V'lo pichtu v'lo hotiru al mashe katuv b'Torah, and not a single one of them tried to add to or to subtract from anything in the Torah. Chutz mi mikra megillah, except for one exception to the rule, in which apparently they added to the Torah, and that's mikra megillah. Asks the Gemara, my darush, how'd they do that? Well, based on what did they do that? Isn't that an iser d'oraisa of Baal Tosif? Rav Chiya bar Avin, Rav Yeshua ben Karcha. No. The drush is as follows. Uma me'avdus amrinan shira. If Bnei Yisrael, when they got out of Mitzrayim, in which their lives had not been threatened, right? They weren't at risk of death. They were just slaves. I say just slaves. And they were freed and they went free and they said Shiras Hayam and they said Halal and we made a holiday. Says the Gemara, Mimisa Lachaim Lo Kol Shekein. And it's a very intuitive, logical Kal Vachomer. If we're going to praise God for saving us from Avdos in Mitzrayim, certainly we should praise God from saving us from certain death. In the land of Achashverosh, right? It makes complete sense. Does anybody want to argue with the Kal Vachomer? I think it makes complete sense.
Ellie,
Yes.
I don't want to argue. Can I ask you something? Is this logic ever used about when we say Hallel on Yom HaAtzmaut?
Right. So I do want to come to that because I think that everything we say about Purim, arguably. Not certainly, but arguably could be said about Yom HaAtzmaut. You know, the Gemara is not really being precise. Because we don't say Hallel on Purim, right? The idea that, oh, we said Hallel when we left Mitzrayim, so we should say Hallel on Purim. Okay, great, but we don't.
Well, isn't the Megillah considered Bimkom
Okay,
Hallel?
yeah, the Gemara has three. You're absolutely right that on some level, as the Gemara says, Kriyasa Zo Hallelia, reading the Megillah is the Hallel of Purim. But I'm just pointing out that it's not really specific. I think what this is going to is more about the establishment of the Yom Tov of Purim than about any particular mitzvah associated with it. Now, it's interesting. Rashi on the spot in source number three says as follows. Chotzri Mikra Megillah. Vim Talmai says Rashi, wait, what about Ner Chanukah? Right? Is it true that the Nevi'im only made up one holiday? Didn't they make up Chanukah also? So Rashi says, yes, they did. But Kfar Pasku HaNevi'im, at the time of the establishment of Chanukah, there were no prophets, there were no prophetesses. Aval Bimei Mordechai, Hayu Chagai Zechariah Malachi. But in the time of Purim, there were Nevi'im. It was the end of the period of Nevuah, but there still were Chagai Zechariah Malachi. Now, the question is, what does Rashi mean? And how does this explain the Gemara? And I think what Rashi is saying is as follows. When there are Nevi'im, there's a risk, right? Because what do we know about Nevi'im? Well, they speak to God, and God speaks to them. And so there's a risk that if they're a Nevi'im, people might say to themselves, okay, God is establishing a new holiday called Purim. But with respect to Chanukah, there were no Nevi'im alive at the time. The period of prophecy had ended. So there was no real risk that anybody would associate the holiday of Chanukah with God. I mean, obviously you associate the holiday of Chanukah with God, but the point is, it's not God's doing. God didn't establish the holiday. God didn't communicate with human beings anymore at the end of Bayis Sheni. However, Purim, which took place beforehand, they still had Nevi'im who were alive, and people may have misunderstood, right? The risk of Baal Tosef is greater when there are Nevi'im than when there are no Nevi'im, right? Take the best example ever. Eliyahu on Har HaKarmel. Eliyahu is obviously, as famous a Navi as there is. So people would have assumed, and could have assumed, and maybe did assume, even though it's probably wrong, that God told Eliyahu, yes, bring Kadshim Bachutz on Har HaKarmel, which is an Isser D'oraisa. Right? That's the fear. That's Baal Tigra. That's the flip side of Baal Tosef. But the risk of Baal Tosef and Baal Tigra is much more pronounced when you live at the time of at the time of Nevuah. If you're not living at the time of Nevuah, so okay, you have a takana, you have a gzeira, but it's not going to be misunderstood, right? Maybe this goes to the core of Baal Tosef, right? What's the risk involved in Baal Tosef? The risk is that you'll assume that it's part of Taryag Mitzvos. The risk is that you'll assume that it's God's actions. And that risk is much greater during the period of Nevuah than it would be otherwise. Okay, is that clear? Does that make sense? People with me? Good. One more point on the Gemara. Says the Marsha in source number four, again, on our Gemara in Megillah, Yud Daled Amud Aleph. He says, what are you talking about that the only mitzvah that was added to the Torah is Purim, is Megillah? He says, Da'af ha-memchet nevi'im lo hotiru ela mikra Megillah. That's what the Gemara says. V'ha de'lo tikshi, but don't ask me, ha de'tikun Shlomo Erevin unetil yadai. But we know that Shlomo HaMelech made gzeros already. He made two specific ones, Eruv and Netilas Yadayim. So he says, no. De'ein zeh mikri hosir al masha kasuv b'Torah. Shlomo didn't add anything to what was in the Torah. De'eruvin eino rak geder lahotzaat Shabbos mirshus hayachad. The idea of an Eruv is to prevent, is relate. It's related to a Doraisa. It's a geder to a Doraisa. Netilas Yadayim mishum truma. Right, our minhag of washing our hands before we eat bread is because if we ate truma, we'd have to wash our hands. Masha'ein kein, however, Mikra Megillah v'ner Chanukah, Sheheim mitzvos bifnei atzmam. But when it comes to lighting a menorah, when it comes to reading Megillah, that's a new mitzvah. That's something completely created whole cloth by the rabbis or by Mordechai and Esther. And therefore, it's more dangerous, and therefore the Gemara is focused on it. Okay? So just a quick recap. The Gemara says it never happened that a Navi added to or subtracted from the Torah except for one, and that one is Mikra Megillah. And how'd they do it? Well, they said a Kal V'chomer. Well, if you're going to praise God for leaving Mitzrayim, certainly you have to praise God for saving us from Haman. Okay, and that's a bigger deal, says Rashi, for Nevi'im, because the risk is greater with respect to Nevi'im that you'll think it's Midah-Oraisa, and it's not Midah-Oraisa, it's Midah-Rabbanan. And the Maharsha adds to that, that the mitzvos Drabbanan that existed during the time of the Nevi'im, they were all Gidorim, fences, or Harchakos, relating to Doraisas. They were not a new Doraisa, like establishing the holiday of Purim. Okay, now,
Ellie,
yes.
so it's discussing the Mikra Megillah, but it's not discussing establishing the day.
So I'm not sure. Again, it's the point you made earlier on. When the Gemara says, what was the Kal V'chomer? Mami avdus l'cheres amrinon shira, mimis l'chaim lo kol shekein. But I don't think the Gemara is trying to prove shira.
Right.
Right?
So
So
that would, so
I think
that.
you're supposed to understand the Gemara to be talking about all aspects of Purim. That's my
So that,
sense.
because my question wasn't necessarily only about saying hallel, but also about the establishment of Yom HaTzmaut.
We're not up to Yom HaTzmaut yet. You just
Okay.
have to you let it go. But I promise you, if I don't come back to it, you can, although I don't have that much to say about it. Okay, so now let's go back to the initial struggle, which isn't obvious to any of us, but the Rav once gave a shiur on this, and he was very into this idea that Mordechai and Esther didn't just want to establish a holiday called Purim, they wanted Purim to be a holiday like Pesach, like Shavuos, like Sukkos, which means Iser Melacha. Right? We know, obviously, Purim isn't a real Yom Tov because we don't have an Iser Melacha. But at the time, there was no such thing as a Melacha that didn't have Iser Melacha. There was no such thing as a Yontif that didn't have Iser Melacha. Now, Iser Melacha doesn't, there's nothing magical about Iser Melacha. What's magical about Iser Melacha is that it equals Kedushat Hayom. That if you have Iser, what gives Shabbos its holiness? The fact that we don't do work. What gives Pesach and Shavuos and Sukkot and Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur? The fact that we don't do work. So, to make Purim a real Yom Tov would have meant Purim would be like a Shabbos. Okay, that didn't happen. Says the Megillah in source number 5 in Perek Tet, just to point out the obvious, which is Perek Tet is the Perek that we forget exists every year. Haman's sons, everything gets finished in Perek Tet, and we're happy to go eat and move on. And all of a sudden, Perek Tet is there, and nothing really happens in Perek Tet. And it gets longer and longer every year. This is just my own experience. But the truth is, all the halachos are hidden in Perek Tet. So let's read some of it. Source number 5. This is Mordechai's first letter. Mordechai wrote two letters to the Jews in the land of Ahasuerus. The first one is, Al kein ha-Yehudim ha-Perazim ha-Yoshvim ba'arei ha-Prozot. Therefore, the Jews who are scattered in different towns, Osim et yom arba'a asar l'chodesh Adar simcha u'mishtev yom tov u'mishlach manot ish l're'ehu. Okay, so they make 14th into the Yom Tov. Now, just notice, they make the 14th into what? Simcha u'mishteh v'yom tov. Right? That's what Mordechai and Esther wanted. Vayichtov Mordechai et hadvarim ha'ela vayishlach siforim al kol ha'yudim asher b'chol midot ha'melach ha'ashvarot ha'krovim v'harachokim Lekayem aleihem lihiyot osim et yom arba asar lechosh adov et yom chamisha asar bo bechol shana vishana kayamim ashenachu bohem ha yehudim me oivehem Two references in Mordechai's first letter to the fact that we want to establish these days as a Yom Tov. La'asot otam, end of the quote, Yemei Mishteves Simcha Mishlach Manot Yishlei U'Matanot La'avyonim. That's what they wanted. Mordechai and Esther thought big. And they wanted Purim not just to be a special day, they wanted Purim to be a Yom Tov, like Pesach. But they also wanted something else. They also wanted Megillat Esther to be included in the Chaf Dalet Kisvei Tanakh. That too was a struggle with Anshei Knesset HaGdol. Just to point out the obvious, I don't think I'm spoiling it for anyone. They lost on the Yom Tov point. Right? When we get to the second letter, Mordechai has already dropped this idea of Yom Tov. He wants it to be a special day, but he's no longer looking for Isser Malacha. But they were still looking, and they achieved it, getting Megillat Esther to be the last of the 24 books in the canon. Now, the problem with that, and this is a bit subtle, but it's a big point. The problem with that is, what does it mean to have a sefer that's part of Chaf Dalet Kisvei Tanach, which means it's a chefza shel Torah, but what's in it is only a mitzvah midrabanan? That's unusual. So, for example, if I destroyed a sefer Torah, God forbid, lo aleinu, I would be over the issur d'oraisa of lo ta'asun kein la'Hashem Elokeichem. You're not allowed to do that. You're not allowed to be disrespectful of. You're not allowed to do something bad to a sefer Torah. But once Megillat Esther became part of the canon, it has the same halacha. If I were, God forbid, to destroy a Megillah, I would be over the issur d'oraisa of lo ta'asun kein la'Hashem Elokeichem. Right? It's the same issur d'oraisa because it's a chefza shel Torah. If you're in the Chaf Dalet Kisvei Tanach, you're a chefza shel Torah. But the problem is, Mordechai and Esther want to get Purim to be established as a holiday midrabanan, but they want their book to be part of the canon, which makes their book, on some level, d'oraisa. This was a problem. And says the Rav, and this I think is fantastic, says the Rav, but it's not the only place that we have this problem. Look at source number 6. It's a pasuk in Zechariah. First, before we read the pasuk, Tisha B'Av, d'oraisa d'rabanan. This would be the class participation.
D'oraisa. No.
Wrong. D'rabanan. Shivasar B'Tamuz, d'rabanan. Som Gedalia, d'rabanan. Asar B'Teves, d'rabanan. But wait, it's an apostle in
They're
Zechariah.
They're all Zechariah.
The pasuk says, you're absolutely right. Kom Hashem Tzvakot. Tzom HaRevi'i v'Tzom HaChamishi. Tzom HaRevi'i is Shivasa B'Tamuz. Tzom HaChamishi is Tisha B'Av. Tzom HaShivi'i is Tzom Gedalia. Tzom HaAsiri is Asar B'Teves. Yeah, Levet Yudel Tzom Simchol Amadim Tovim Ratzva Shalom HaHavu. Okay, it's a difficult pasuk to understand. But Tzom HaRevi'i, right, means the fast of Shivasa B'Tamuz, the fast of Tisha B'Av, etc., etc. So on the one hand, despite the fact that it's in Zechariah, we know that these fasts are drabanan. We know that halacha l'maisen, it's our experience with them. But yet, it's in Zechariah. Another example. Says the pasuk in Yeshayahu, Im tashiv mi shabbat raglecha asot chafotzecha b'yom kachi. Right? If you say the extremely extended version of Kiddush on Shabbos day, you know this pasuk by heart, right? Im tashiv mi shabbat raglecha asot chafatzecha biyom kachi vekarata la shabbat oneg likdosh Hashem mechubad vechibadto me'asot drachecha mi mitzo chefzecha v'daber davar. What two concepts do we learn from this pasuk? Anybody?
Oneg and kavod Shabbos.
We learn Kavod and Oneg Shabbos, Yashikoach. Okay? Kavod and Oneg Shabbos are Doraisa or Drabanan?
Doraisa.
Nope. They're drabanan. Just like, and it's the same paradox, right? How could it be drabanan if it's a pasuk in Yeshayahu? Shouldn't that make it to Oraisa? So now we look at the Rambam. And the Rambam is exceptionally sensitive to Doraisas and Drabanans. I just to make you clear on how sensitive he is, even though, by the way, we observe Drabanans. When I say something is Drabanan, I don't mean that you don't observe it. There is one big difference between Doraisas and Drabanans, right? What's the difference between Doraisas and Drabanans?
Suffolk.
Correct. Sveika Doraisa Lachumra. If I don't remember if I benched during lunch today, okay, obviously I didn't have lunch today, it's Friday. But if I don't remember, so I have to bench again because sveika d'oraisa l'chumra. However, if I don't remember whether I made a shahakal on my mouth-wateringly delicious hot chocolate I'm drinking right now, I've been rationing them because you can't get them in Israel. Land O'Lakes, fantastic. But right, anyway, so I would not make another bracha because it's a drabanan. Okay, now, why did I mention this? Because when the Rambam brings the mitzvah of the Isser of Baal Tosef, right? So when we think of Baal Tosef, what do we think of? So we think of all the examples in the Gemara, for example. Right, you can't add a fourth bracha to duchening. Right, you
I
can't
bucked
add a
him in
fifth
the
parsha to your
villain.
tefillin. You can't. Right, these are objects in the Rambam, that are Baal Tosef. But that's not what the Rambam brings. It's so fascinating. You know what the Rambam brings? Anybody? The Rambam brings one example.
You say something's that is deraisa, so you say the Rabbana and the Tabbana.
Kippah.
No, Morty's right. He just doesn't remember. The Rambam says a person who says chicken and milk is an Isser d'oraisa is in violation of the Isser d'oraisa of Baal Tosef. Now I think to myself, what's the big deal? Okay, so you exaggerate a little bit. That it can't be an Isser d'oraisa, but the Rambam is so sensitive to the difference between d'oraisa and drabanans, he thinks you can't. Here, a story from my life. I grew up down the block from the Masifta of Long Beach. I was always going to go to the Masifta of Long Beach. I used to hang out there when I was a little kid. We were once hosting in our sukkah. I remember it so clearly, the executive director of the Masifta of Long Beach. So in a quiet moment during lunch, I said to him, I was so disappointed to hear that gum, I used to chew gum, everybody chewed gum when I was a kid, that gum is milchitz. So he said, oh no, it's not. So I said, but everybody in the Masifta of Long Beach says gum is milchitz. So he says, yeah, that's what we told the Bachrim because we don't like them when they chew gum. I almost left Judaism on the spot. Like, you could do that? You could just make something like that. It was so disappointing to me. But the Rambam would say that's an Isser d'oraisa because it's not true. Okay, now with that introduction, let's look at how the Rambam paskens the three examples that we've discussed till now, right? We have Megillah, where Esther wants it to be part of Chavta al Kisvei Tanakh. But the mitzvah is a drabanan. We have kavod va'oneg, which themselves are drabanan, but they're in a pasuk in Yeshayahu. And we have the four fast days with them, which themselves are drabanan, but they're in a pasuk in Zechariah. Look at this amazing thing in the Rambam. Look at source number 8. It says the Rambam Hilchos Megillah, the first halacha in Megillah. Kriyat ha-Megillah bizmana mitzvat aseh midivrei sofrim. What's the mitzvah sase midivrei sofrim in the Rambam?
Megillah.
No. When he says it's midivrei sofrim, what does he mean?
Rabbanan.
It's drabanan, right? It's drabanan. That should be the whole halacha. But the Rambam continues, v'hadvarim yiduim shehi takanat neviim. What does that add to our understanding? Right? The Rambam was so careful with his words. He says it. Megillah is a drabanan, but it's not a regular drabanan. It's well known. V'hadvarim yiduim, shehi takanat neviim. Okay, it's interesting, but then you see the exact same thing in our other examples. Source number 9. Says the Rambam in Hilchos Shabbos in Perek Lamed Halacha Aleph, Arba'a Dvarim Ne'emru B'Shabbat. There are four concepts relating to Shabbos. Shnayim min ha-Torah u'shnayim mi-divrei sofrim. Two are d'oraisa, and two are d'rabanan. And then you have this unnecessary phrase again. Vehein mefurashim al yedei ha-Nevi'im. Yes, they're d'rabanan, but it's brought down in Nevi'im. It's explained by the Nevi'im. Shebit Torah, what are the two concepts that are min ha-Torah? Zachar v'shamar. Vishenit parshu al yedei ha-Nevi'im. Kavod va'oneg. And that's our pasuk shenamar, the pasuk in Yishayo, v'karata l'shabbos oneg v'likdosh Hashem mechubad. So again, the Rambam agrees, it's drabanan, but it's mefurashim al yedei ha-Nevi'im. Or in our case, it's a takanat Nevi'im. Third and last example. Source number 10. Says the Rambam Hilchos Tanis Perakei Halacha Dalet with respect to the four fast days, Va'arba'a yimei hatzomot ha'elu harehein mefurashin b'kabbalah. Okay, it's slightly different than the other ones. The Rambam doesn't say specifically that they are drabanan. He says they are mefurashin b'kabbalah. And then he quotes our pasuk in Zechariah, Tzoma revi v'tzoma chamishi v'tzoma shvi v'tzoma asiri. Says the Rav, that's exactly what the Rambam sees. And the answer may be that we've been wrong all our lives in thinking there are only two categories of mitzvahs, right? If you asked me, I would tell you there's d'oraisas and there's drabanans. Says the Rav, it could be that in the Rambam, there are three categories. There's the highest category, d'oraisa. There's the lowest category, drabanan. And there's something in between. Call it a drabanan plus. It's a drabanan. However, it's a drabanan that shows up in Nevi'im, which for shorthand, or maybe we could adopt the Rambam's language, is called divrei kabbalah. Right? It's not a d'oraisa, but it is in Chaf Dalet Kisvei Tanakh. Now, maybe this is just a theoretical distinction. Like, I couldn't tell you what's the difference between a drabanan and a divrei kabbalah. I don't know. I don't know if we hold that sfeik safek divrei kabbalah is lachumra. I don't think so. I really don't. But it could just be when you're so sensitive to the difference between a d'oraisa and a drabanan, when it matters very, very much, not halacha l'maisa, but it matters very, very much whether something is a d'oraisa or drabanan. You know, the Rambam was very big on categorizing things. So one category is a mitzvah d'oraisa, one category is a mitzvah d'rabanan. Now, a third category might be divrei kabbalah. Now, I don't know if it's true or not, but assuming there was a third category, and assuming that maybe that category isn't really d'rabanan plus, but it's d'oraisa minus, that would explain a famous, difficult passage in the Shulchan Aruch. In source number 11, says the Mechaber in Hilchos Purim, Yesh mi sha'omer sha'onein mutar bebasar v'yayin. Let's say you're an onein, you know, you lost one of the Zayin Krovim and you haven't had a chance to bury them yet, and it's Purim. So the Mechaber says there is a shita that says you could eat meat and drink wine. Why? Dilo asi ase diyachid de avelos, because your personal mitzvah of avelos is not docha vidachi ase de rabim de oraisa lismoach bipurim. Right? That word d'oraisa is problematic. Nobody thinks that Purim is d'oraisa. That's the whole point of the Gemara. And explains the Mechaber, de divrei kabbalah ninhu, Shehem kedivrei Torah. Right? It seems obvious. The Mechaber is saying once Chazal made the decision to include Purim, to include Megillas Esther in the Chaf Dalet Kisvei Tanakh, that basically made it divrei Kabbalah. Shehem kedivrei Torah. Now, I don't know. I didn't look, so it's my fault. I don't know if there's a similar halacha with respect to the Dalet Somos. I don't know if there's a similar halacha or statement of the Mechaber with respect to Kavod Va'oneg on Shabbos. But I know that it's here, and I assume that it's based on this idea of the Rambam, that if you have something that's in Chaf Dalet Kisvei Tanakh, that bumps it up from a regular drabanan to, at least according to the Mechaber, something akin to a Doraisa, which is, again, which is a huge chiddush and slightly self-defeating, because we think Nevi'im can't make up Doraisas. But here comes the Mechaber saying, no, they did, because they got their book into Chaf Dalet Kisvei Tanakh. Okay, hard to know what to do with that, but not hard to know what to do with the next thing, which is a, really like a brilliant insight of the Rav, I think. There's a pasuk in that same parak in Megillah, in Parak Tet, that I would say right now, none of us have ever understood before. And I'm about to tell you the Rav's explanation, and if you're open-minded enough, you'll say, this is the first time I understood this pasuk. Here we go. Source number 12. Va'tichtov Esther ha-malka bat Avichai lo Mordechai ha'idu et kol tokef l'kayem et igeret ha-purim hazot ha-shenit. This is now the second set of letters that Mordechai and Esther send out to the Jews in Ahasuerus' kingdom. And you'll notice here, there's zero reference to Yom Tov, because according to the Rav, at least, they've dropped that request. Va'yishlach sefarim el kol ha-yehudim El Sheva ve'esrimu me'yam medina malchut Achashverosh, divrei shalom ve'emet. What's the substance of the letter? Le'kayem et yimei ha'purim ha'ele bizmanehem, to establish Purim in its proper times, ka'asher kiyam alehem Mordechai ha'yudi ve'ester ha'malka, v'cha'asher kiyimu al nafsham ve'al zaram, divrei hatzomot v'za'akatam. Okay, great. What does it mean? What takana was there about fasting? What does this have to do with fasting and crying out to God? This is a joyous time. So says the Rav, that's pshat in the pasuk. Esther said to them, you should be able to accept Megillas Esther as part of Chaf Dalet Kisvei Tanakh without the risk that people will think that Purim is Doraisa, and without the risk of Baal Tosif, because of Divrei Hatzomot V'Zaakatam, because the fast days are Drabanan, but they're in Zechariah. And Zechariah is in Chaf Dalet Kisvei Tanakh. So she brought a source to support her idea. I'm not breaking any new ground, says Esther. I'm not establishing anything new. I want to do exactly what Zechariah did with the four fasts. I want to be in Chaf Dalet Kisvei Tanakh, and I'm not worried that people will misunderstand. Because just like Divrei Atzamot V'Zaakatam, just like everybody knows that the four fast days are Drabanan, so too everyone will know that Purim is Drabanan, despite the fact that Megillas Esther is in Chaf Dalet Kisvei Tanakh. And the argument worked. And Chazal accepted Megillas Esther as part of Chaf Dalet Kisvei Tanakh, perhaps because of the argument of Divrei Hatzamot V'Zaakatam, that Purim and Megillas Esther will be exactly like the four fast days. Namely, they're in Chaf Dalet Kisvei Tanakh, and yet they're only Drabanan. Okay, I, you know, you don't have to all applaud the Rav's insight there, but I think it's fantastic. Okay. Now, what does it mean? What does it mean that something is in Chaf Dalet Kisvei Tanakh? Aside from, you know, as a practical matter, what does it mean? So the Rav said, and really, like, it's a beautiful idea, I think. It means that you can learn halachic and moral lessons from the Megillah, just like you could learn halachic and moral lessons from Parshas Pekudei, which happens to be this week's Parsha. Once it's part of the Chefza of Torah Shebichsav, once it's part of the canon, we can learn conclusions from it. It's not an Igeret, right? An Igeret is a historical document. But it's not. It's as if Avraham Avinu said it. It's like Yitzhak said it. It's like Yaakov said it. It's like Moshe said it. And the Rav told a story. I think I've told it before, but it's so beautiful. I'm telling it again. Okay? In Vilna, in the beginning of the 1700s, there was a man named Ravman ben Ravman. I don't know if that means that his mother died while she was pregnant with him, but that was his name. Okay? And a bunch of apostates in, you know, they, like killing Jews then was something that was just done for sport and it was easy to do. And so somebody planted a cross or some kind of other, you know, religious item. He took it from the church and he planted it in the shul on Sukkos. And then he told the priests that the Jews are going to beat this item tomorrow, which happened to be Hoshana Rabbah. Okay, V'kachava. And so they arrested the 30 Parnasim, the 30 most important supporters of the Jewish community. They arrested them and they planned to kill them all, unless somebody confessed to this trumped up and made up crime. So Ravman ben Ravman went to Rav Shmuel Achron. He wasn't known as Shmuel Achron then. He was called Shmuel Achron because he turned out to be the last Rav of Vilna. And he said to him, I'm going to turn myself in to save the 30 Parnasim. So not surprising, Rav Shmuel Achron said, I got to talk to the Vilna Gaon. Like, I don't know if you're allowed to do that. But before he got a chance to speak to the Vilna Gaon and get an answer, Ravman ben Ravman turned himself in. And he was, in fact, martyred, but he did, in fact, save the 30 Parnasim. And based on what did he do it? He told Rav Shmuel Achron, the lesson I learned from the Megillah is that just like Esther, who wasn't at any risk, put herself at risk to save the Jewish people, I can do the same thing. And added the Rav, you know, the ability to say something like that, the ability to do something like that, comes from the fact that the Megillah isn't just a story, it's in Kisvei Tanakh, and we have the ability and the obligation to darshan it like we would any other portion of Tanakh.
Ellie, not to get focused on what he did, what didn't, but one was for Klal Yisrael, one was, you know, for a group of people. And then we have, who was it we discussed a little while ago, they wanted to redeem him from prison. And
he Marame Rutenberg.
Marame Rutenberg, and he refused. You know, so, like, you have two conflicting, you know, approaches to this.
I don't think they're conflicting. You're saying, just because you could do it for all
I'm
the
not
time,
saying, so I'm questioning. I don't have an opinion on
okay,
it.
Okay, so, I don't know that the Jews in Shushan had a din of Klal Yisrael. Right? There were a lot of them. Right? By the way, I don't know if we know how many. We killed 75,000 Gentiles in the wars on Purim. So what does that mean for the number of Jews? I really have no idea. But I think my sense is if you could do it for 30, you could do it for 300,000. You know, there's no din of what makes it Tzibur and Persume Nisa and Kiddush Hashem and things like that. I think you read the Megillah, you get the sense that that's the lesson we're supposed to learn. Then Mordechai comes to Esther and says, you know, Im ha-charesh ta-charishi ba'it hazot, revach v'hatzalo yamod la'idim imakom acher v'atu v'esavit toveidu, umi yodeim la'eit kazot higad la'malchut. Right? He's basically saying, you'll be fine. But what's going to happen to the Jewish people? And Ravman ben Ravman said the same thing. Obviously, I'll be fine. They'll kill the 30 Parnasim, but I could save them. Just like Esther put herself at risk.
Can we make it one? Based on this, can we make it one-on-one? I mean, I don't want to push the point, but
I don't know. I don't know. I'm not really prepared to discuss it, and I don't know the answer. But I think I think the answer is less halachic and more moral. I think if you have one person you could save, I think that's a shaila. I think that's a real question. What the answer is, I don't know. But for sure, that's the general lesson we're supposed to learn. Okay. Now, let's just finish with some small points. The first thing is just to notice this, that once the fight over Purim was concluded, Hanukkah was a slam dunk. Meaning there is no big difference between Hanukkah and Purim. Okay, it's Hanukkah happened in Eretz Yisrael, and maybe it's a stronger argument, but it's almost like, okay, we had a fight once. We agreed that you could establish a new holiday subject to some restrictions. And now Hanukkah is just going to kind of float in. Now, part of that is it's easier with respect to Hanukkah. Why? What makes Hanukkah easier?
Because we already have Purim as an
Yes,
example.
but
But
what fact about Hanukkah, huh?
there's nothing there other than Pesumah Nisa. There's nothing.
No, there's nothing in Tanakh.
Right.
Meaning this whole point we've been discussing, how could you have something in Tanakh and have a mitzvah drabanan? It doesn't apply to Hanukkah. The Sefer HaMakabim never made it into Chaf Dalet Kisvei Tanakh. So my sense is, it was much easier. Chazal didn't get all worked up. Yeah, you could have a holiday, you could light a menorah. What's the big deal? No one's going to misunderstand it. Look
Well,
at 13.
that's not so simple because we have halachas of how you have to spend to have the candles and
Yeah,
it's
you can
real
have
halachas.
halachos on drabanans. That's fine. You can go to town on a drabanan, but it's drabanan. No one in the history of the world ever thought that lighting a menorah was a doraisa. Part of that is because there's no story in Tanakh that supports the fact that it would be doraisa. Now look in the Rambam source number 13. It's fantastic. The Rambam has four prakim in Hilchos Megillah v'Chanukah. The first two are Megillah, the last two are Chanukah. So he says in 13, in Parak Gimel Halacha Gimel. Okay, so therefore they established Hanukkah. Go to the third line towards the end. V'yamim elu hein nikraim Chanukkah, v'hein asurin behesped v'ta'anit bimei ha'purim. Okay, it might be extra words. Why can't the Ram just say that they're asur behesped v'ta'anit? Why does he have to say they're asur behesped v'ta'anit like Purim? Keep reading. V'hadlakat ha'neirot bahen mitzvah midivrei sofrim kikriyat ha'megillah. Right, so now already you start to clue into the fact that the Rambam isn't just giving us additional information. The Rambam is letting us know that Chanukah is based on Purim. And then you have a really strange formulation in the next halacha. Who's chayav in hadlakas neiros Chanukah? Says the Rambam. Kol shechayav b'kriyat ha'megillah, chayav b'hadlakat ner Chanukah. Right, that's a really strange formulation. Just tell me, men, women, children, don't force me to go look up the halacha. It's like the Rambam saying, you want to know who's chayav in halakas ner is Chanukah? Well, go look up who's chayav in halakas in kriyas ha'megillah, and then you'll know. But it's a giveaway. The Rambam is saying that Chanukah exists because of Purim. And he keeps making this point.
But Elihi also says Midivrei Sofrim. But I thought we said before Midivrei Sofrim has a connection to Nevi'im, and Hanukkah doesn't.
Well, I'm sorry, first of all, just where are you?
Last
Midivrei
line.
So you're saying it would have been more precise if you said Vahadlakat Haneirot Bahen. Mitzvah midivrei Kabbalah kekriyat haMegillah. It's a good question. That's why I think that in the Rambam, this idea of something in between drabbanan and doraisa is more theoretical. When it comes down to it, he doesn't think of kriyas haMegillah as being midivrei Kabbalah. When it comes down to it, he thinks of it as being a drabbanan, like
The Rambam
Chanukah.
says it's midivrei sofrim, Parak Halacha Aleph. The Kriyas Megillah says mitzvah same midivrei sofrim. So therefore
Keep
now,
reading.
yeah,
Keep reading.
Adron Zehi Takos Neviim.
Okay. So the Rambam's telling you something different. It's not a regular Sofrim. It's also a Takanas Hanavim. Okay, now, look at 14. We're just about done. What's Halacha L'maisa? What's going on Bizman Hazeh? So the Mechaber says, HaMefaresh Bayam, we basically, it doesn't really apply to us that often, which is probably why most of us don't know this Halacha. Says the Mechaber, HaMefaresh Bayam Vayotze B'Shayara, let's say you're going to be on a plane on Purim, Ve'eino Motzei Megillah L'Holichimo, and you don't have a Megillah to take with you on the plane, Yikra'ena B'Yud Gimel O B'Yud Bet O Ba'achad Asar B'Low Bracha. Says the Mechaber, no problem. You can read Megillah before Purim. You know, what exactly is the... Okay, you can't make a bracha. The bracha is established for a Kriyas HaMegillah on the right day. But you could do the Maisa Mitzvah. V'im Efsha, and then he says even more, V'im Efsha Lamtin Ad Yamim Halalo, and if you can't even wait, you can't get a Megillah on the 11th, Yeshomrim Shekore Afilu Mitchilat HaChodesh. You could read Megillah on this, you know, today. And says the Rama, V'hachi nahug. That's the minhag. It's not just a theoretical halacha. That's the minhag. Mihu, however, let's say you read it. Let's say you thought to yourself, I'm going to be on a plane on Purim, so I'm going to read Megillah today. Mihu, says the Rama, im nizdamein lo achar kach Megillah, if you get a Megillah on the plane, choser v'koreo to biyom yudal. You have to read again on Purim. Afilu kirat shila biyom yud gimel, even if you read the day before. Mikal makom kara ota shelo bizmana. It's true that you can be yotzei the mitzvah on yud gimel, but you're being yotzei the mitzvah shelo bizmana. And it's much better to get the mitzvah bizmana than shelo bizmana. Therefore, you'd have to read it again. Right? That's really an amazing halacha. And now, let's come to Yom Ha'atzmaut. So Rav Meidan made this point. It's really an amazing point. He said, what day is Yom Ha'atzmaut? So the answer is, hey, Iyar. But there are very, very few years in which we celebrate Yom Ha'atzmaut on hey, Iyar. Right? You can't celebrate Yom Ha'atzmaut on Shabbos. You can't celebrate Yom Ha'atzmaut on Friday. You can't celebrate Yom Ha'atzmaut on Thursday. You can't celebrate Yom Ha'atzmaut on Thursday. You can't celebrate Yom Ha'atzmaut on Friday. You can't celebrate.
Friday.
Right, so you can't do it Friday. You can't do it Shabbos. You can't do it Sunday. You also can't do it Monday. Because if you did it Monday, then Sunday would be Yom HaZikaron. And that also is Goyim Chilul Shabbos. Rav Meidan said he didn't think that when the Rabbanut sat around deciding about Yom Ha'atzmaut and establishing the holiday, that they thought of this point. But it's a really interesting parallel, which is on some level, and this has got to be true, on some level, Chazal said, yes, we're going to have a holiday of Purim. But you know what? To make it clear to everyone, Josh, you got to show up on the screen if you want to talk. Unless you're like not dressed. Okay, but he said as follows. With respect to Purim, it's almost like Chazal said, you know, we'll give you a holiday, but to make it clear to everyone that it's not a real holiday, we're going to have multiple dates. Because everybody knows there's no multiple dates for Pesach and for Shavuos and for Sukkot and for Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. If there's multiple dates, it serves to make the point that it's not so obligatory. It's not d'oraisa. Now, Josh is going to ask about Pesach Sheni. But Pesach Sheni is a different example. I don't think it's the same. But anyway, said Rav Meidan, the Rabbanut may have done the same thing with respect to Yom Ha'atzmaut by saying there's only 3 days in the week that Yom Ha'atzmaut can be celebrated. It's not Docha Shabbos. It's not Docha any of these other things. We're saying, okay, it's a holiday, but don't think we're doing, God forbid, Baal Tosef. Don't think we're adding to the Torah. We understand what we're doing. We're nervous about it, but these are the rules under which we're going to do it. Yes, Josh.
You're on mute.
I'm sorry, Pesach Sheni was an earlier question. What I think interesting about your last point is that, and I think you pointed it out last week or somebody did, that the most, the day, no, it wasn't you, but the day on which there is the most Mechallel Shabbos.
Yeah, it was me.
Certainly Hanukkah, Shabbos right. Hanukkah. Oh, maybe you did. Okay. So that's interesting that they were metaken a chag and didn't take that into account. That's just one thing. But I'm curious, not as a challenge, I'm curious, how do you process Chazal asking, you know, Haman Minatorah, Minatorah? Like, how do you think they were asmachta? Do you think they were having fun? Do you think?
Yeah, I hate to say it. I think they were having fun.
Yeah.
Fun is the wrong word. But I think, you know, they're playing intellectual games and they're curious. And it would not make any difference to my observance of Purim or your observance of Purim whether Haman min HaTorah. Haman lived after the Torah. I don't believe that Haman was min HaTorah, just like I don't believe Esther was min HaTorah. Right? Okay, she was a historical figure who lived well after. And, you know, I sometimes it's funny. It's the opposite of what we've been discussing. And maybe that's really your point.
Yes.
Right? I keep making the point that Chazal wanted to, you know, to limit the importance of Purim because of the risk of Baal Tosef. You're saying, yeah, but sometimes Chazal do the opposite. And you're right. I don't really have an answer for that question. My sense is the sources we're doing are the more important sources and the sources you're quoting are less important. But you're right. I don't really know. But I think just to sum up what we've done, you know, we started with this strange halacha of Purim being able to be celebrated on multiple dates, which doesn't make much sense. It's inconsistent with everything else we know about Yomim Tovim and holidays and special days from the Torah. We saw the Gemara that Nevi'im didn't add anything except for Purim, and they had a Kal V'chomer to learn it out. You love the Kal V'chomer, you don't love the Kal V'chomer. We talked about Esther and Mordechai wanting this to be a holiday, wanting it to be a holiday with Kedushas Hayom, i.e. Isser Malacha. Chazal saying no to that. You're right, I don't have great proofs to that, but the Rav says it, it's good enough for me. And it, you know, again, if you look in the Megillah, the first letter has Yom Tov in it. The second letter does not. Then there's the idea of including Megillas Esther in Chaf Dal Kisvei Tanach that Chazal did agree to, which led to this paradox, which is what does it mean that the Sefer itself is Doraisa, but the Mitzvah Sinadad Drabanan? We saw two other examples of that, the Dalit Somos and Kavod and Oneg on Shabbos. We saw the Rambam maybe creating a third category above Drabanans and below Doraisas called Divrei Kabbalah. We saw the Shulchan Aruch basically saying, yeah, Divrei Kabbalah is a Doraisa. And using the word Doraisa with respect to Purim, because Divrei Kabbalah k'divrei Torah ninhu. Okay, agree or disagree? Then we saw this amazing pshat in Megillas Esther in the ninth parak when Esther says, Divrei Atzamot v'zakatam, she's basically saying, make us like the Dalit Somos, which exist in Zechariah, but are Drabanan. Then we saw the Rambam. I tried to show you that the Rambam thinks that Hanukkah is obviously piggybacked on Purim. And then we ways in which you can celebrate Purim serves to make it less of a Doraisa and maybe was established by the Rabbanut as the model for Yom HaTzmod for the same reason. It's hard to know, but it's a fascinating idea.
So, Ellie?
Yes.
So, based on just the last things you said about the Rambam basing Hanukkah based on Purim and the whole thing about not so certain days, how come Hanukkah has to be lit on those 8 days? And
right.
Not
so I think there the answer is one, Sefer HaMakabim is not in Tanakh. And two, it's an 8 day holiday. There would be nothing left of an 8 day holiday if you could celebrate on the multiple days, right? Purim is one day. And if you can't celebrate on that one day, you could celebrate on another day. But it's almost like saying if you couldn't say celebrate Hanukkah one day, okay, you'll do it the next day. So I missed the third night of Hanukkah. I'll do the fourth night. I'll do the second night. I thought about it, but I don't think it's really that compelling.
Travis.
All right. Yashkoch to everybody. Have a great Shabbos and see you next Friday.